listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine the Bible passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by my wife, Brenda Crosston. Brenda actually happened to write this particular group of studies. She is the women's ministry leader at the Mount Gilead Missionary Baptist Church in Nashville, Virginia, and an author. Hello, Brenda.
Hey, Mark. Just a little correction. We live in Nashville, Tennessee, not Nashville, Virginia. Is there a Nashville, Virginia? I'm not sure. All right. Today's lesson is strong impurity. It invites us to live a life of purity and recognize the benefits of that. Now, just because there's an invitation here, it doesn't mean that it's not going to sting a little bit as we talk about this lesson from Revelation 2, verses 18 through 29.
All right. So the point of our lesson today is purity in all things impacts your service for Christ. All right. So our first section says we ought to increase your love and service. And so let me read the first verses, chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Write to the angel of the church at Thyatira, thus says the Son of God, the one whose eyes are like a fiery flame and whose feet are like bronze. I know your works, your love, faithfulness, service, and endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first. So there it is, the idea of increase your love and service. And so each time in these lessons, he introduces himself in an interesting and particular way that kind of falls into that particular study. Here he says, the one whose eyes are fiery flame and whose feet are like bronze. And so to me, part of what he is saying is that he knows where you've been and knows what you're going through. He sees us where we are. All right. So what are you thinking in this first section, Brenda?
That's exactly what I was thinking, that those eyes of fire burn right through to the truth of where we are in our hearts and what we're thinking and what we're planning. So it was a very appropriate introduction for this particular lesson.
So we talk about increase your love and service, and I see that particularly in the end of verse number 19. He says, I know your last works are greater than the first. And so that is very encouraging, that all of us ought to be growing in our faith and growing in our obedience. And so all of us ought to have this testimony, like the church there at Thyatira, that our latter works are greater than our first works.
Yeah, it is encouraging, but it also says to me that I have to be aware that I'm working for him even more with more zeal than I did when I first came to know him, with more determination. Well, maybe not zeal, but determination and focus and intentionality. So I think that's how our works grow. Whenever we're doing something, we start to walk through the process, whatever that process is, we start understanding it more. And so we become more intentional, knowing what things we need to do to get this particular mission project or whatever assignment done. And so this is a reminder to me that I have to work with intentionality for Christ.
Right. And so I'll just say four important things that he mentions about the church, that their love, their faithfulness, their service, and endurance. And so those are four important areas for all of our lives if we will increase our love and service. So the second section says, do not permit immorality. Do not permit immorality. Let's read verses 20 through 23. But I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and deceives my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat meat sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to repent of her sexual immorality. Look, I will throw her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great affliction. Unless they repent of her works, I will strike their children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who examines minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Oh, Brenda, come on, talk to us about Jezebel.
Goodness gracious. So Jezebel is Ahab's wife. We find her in First Kings. She was wicked, and she wasn't just wicked. She was a powerful, wicked woman who did all sorts of evil, and she encouraged the worship of Baal. So when he uses Jezebel's name, he's very intentional about getting their attention as to the level of destruction and disobedience that was happening here.
So I would say that even in our day, the idea of calling somebody a Jezebel is to say that they are a person who has loose morals, just like the person who we find in this particular text. And interesting, like this church also tolerated this. So it says in verse 20, you tolerate the woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess. So a couple of things I'm seeing here. One is that a prophetess would be among the leaders of the church.
Yeah.
Right. So you have somebody who is in some kind of leadership or influential position in the life of the church. And so they tolerate this. They said, well, we know this is wrong, but we're just going to tolerate it because this is so and so. And I've seen this in different churches where they knew a person was wrong, but they tolerated it, maybe because they came from a certain family or because they gave a certain amount of money or, you know, or for some other reason. But this is a real problem in the life of churches, to allow somebody to be in leadership and authority in some kind of way in the life of the church, but to be leading people the wrong way by their teachings and their lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm glad that you pointed out that she was in leadership. Here's another call for us as leaders. If you are in a position in church, you have the mandate from God to live a pure life, not just sexually, but mentally, in your actions, in your dealings with the people of God. You have this mandate to be pure. And so Jezebel was only about herself. She only cared about what would get her what she wanted, when she wanted it, and how she wanted it. And that is certainly, that certainly can be true today, that we see the platform of the pulpit or a leadership platform used solely for the leader. And the people of God are left suffering because they're not getting their needs met. Everything is directed toward the leader.
So verse 22 says, I will throw her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great affliction. So, you know, God sees and God knows. And so and God is going to act. So that's part of what we see here, and that we let foolishness go on. But God says, I'm not going to let foolishness go on forever. And it's not just the leader, but the problem, especially with leaders, is that when they go wrong, they take a lot of people with them.
Yeah.
And so that's why the herd, I will strike, verse 23, I will strike her children. That's those who are following her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one. Remember, he had fiery eyes, who examines the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Nothing is secret. Nothing is hidden from the all-seeing, all-knowing eye of God. You can fool some people, but you cannot fool him.
In verse 22, that phrase that says, Lord, I will throw her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great affliction. We have to understand that adultery here is not a reference to sex necessarily. So remember that Christ is married to, that we are the bride of Christ. And here, this adultery is the turning away from God's will and his way. And so we can't just think about this. So I used to always ask, well, why is it that when people talk about Jezebel, they reference sex and you know, a woman with red lipstick on and all of that. And when I found out that, you know, Jezebel was this wicked, powerful woman, I understand now that there is this idea that she turns people away from that which is right.
Right. And I would say that the idea of adultery has a twofold meaning, you know, rather than one or the other. It means this idea of sexual immorality, but it also means this idea of spiritual unfaithfulness.
Agreed.
Yeah, both and here. And so, yeah, so but ultimately, this is a very powerful lesson to be strong in purity. And so I think this is something we kind of miss out on in the 21st century church, because we like to be a little more, I think a lot of our churches are a little tolerant of everything. But this says, but I think one of the strong messages here is that, yeah, we're going to have people who may be weak and growing in the life of our church, but in leadership, it really makes a difference. And so leaders are held to a different standard. And that's what we see here in the life of this passage. And so there it is, the reminder. So what do we do in the midst of this? Remain faithful to the gospel. Let me read verses 24 through 29. I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who haven't known the so-called secrets of Satan, as they say, I am not putting any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my word to the end, I will give him authority over the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He will shatter them like pottery, just as I have received this from my Father. I will also give him the morning star. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. So we've got a couple interesting phrases in this last passage. Brenda, take us through those.
The so-called secrets of Satan, this term might refer to the idea that in order to fully understand the grace of God, that you had to fall deep into the depths of sin. I'm snickering because, yeah, I don't know about that. And Morning Star, it symbolizes the presence of God that we'll all enjoy in heaven. It's the reward of enjoying God's presence.
Right. So, yeah. So, you know, people come up with all kinds of mischievous, diabolical, misleading teachings. And I can remember I was teaching when I was a younger pastor, and I had some older people in the church, and they talked about this idea of adultery, and they talked about clean sheets. I said, what in the world are you talking about? And they said that two clean sheets can't make the other one dirty. I said, what in the world are you talking about? So they were saying that if one was a Christian and another one was a Christian, and they got together, even though it was immorally, that they were okay because neither one would mess up the other one. Well, I'm just saying that idea, just like this, is part of the so-called secrets of Satan.
Huh? Right. It's not nice what I'm thinking. Like, I'm just thinking, that's just dumb. Like, how do we fall for that? Yeah.
The devil always has a way of trying to, make some shortcuts.
This is the thought that when you believe the stuff like that, these so-called secrets of Satan, you're just simply being led away by the lust that's already in your heart, because that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, so again, like this, I loved these scriptures, but they also had me cringing. Like what he says about he will rule them with an iron scepter. He will shatter them like pottery. And just as I received this from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. Let anyone who has ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches.
So one of the things I would just say is that God never takes kindly and maybe takes a special offense to leaders who take people down the wrong path intentionally. So remember, Jesus said that if anybody would offend one of these little ones, it would be better for that one that a millstone were tied around his neck and that he drowned in the sea. So all of that says, along with this idea that's in this particular passage, where it talked about the iron scepter and the shattered pottery, is just a reminder that God really gets ticked off by people who ought to know better and who intentionally lead people who are naive in the faith, young in the faith, in the wrong direction.
You know, here, this particular portion, this is talking to the one who conquers and the one who keeps the works to the end, that he will give them this authority to do this, that they would have this authority over the people who had, who were holding on to these so-called secrets of Satan.
Yes, yes.
So there's some hope in that, you know, for us, and I'm going to boldly say us.
And then he says, I'll also give him the morning star. So it just lets us know that God, you know, we go through difficult seasons, but God allows a new day to dawn. So that's a reminder there that trouble won't last always. God will allow a new day, a bright new day to dawn.
Since our lesson is talking about this entitled Strong and Purity, we have to bring this back around to the idea. I opened up by saying that this was an invitation to live a life of purity and to see some of the benefits of doing that. And these last verses, we see those benefits that God will entrust you with something, right? It says that the one who conquers and keeps my works to the end, I will give him authority over the nations. That is a major, God is entrusting something to those who decide to remain pure. So in this day and age where it is popular to have many sex partners, it's popular to think that there are many ways to God. It's popular to do that, to have your truth be relevant to you. For those of us who decide to hold on to the purity of God's word, he has something stored up for us, a great reward.
All right, so there it is. Strong in purity, be a very timely and helpful lesson that we're going to examine with this in our groups. And so if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment, because Brenda's going to give us a powerful teaching tip for today. And I just want to remind you that you can get your copy of the U Bible Study at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It's our For Us and By Us Bible Study, multi-ethnic and urban Bible study resource. It has digital availability with a wonderful leaders pack. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. And so take advantage of this. All right, Brenda, give us our tip for today.
This lesson's teaching tip is embedded in today's lesson. Now, this might just be a reminder for some of you, but for some, we may not be utilizing all of the aspects of you. So on page 33 in Digging Deeper, there's a little discussion about Jezebel. Pull that into the scripture readings when you do this portion between verses 20 and 23. Before you dive into that, pull in that, or after, it's okay, before or after. Pull in that digging deeper about Jezebel so that you can incite a little bit of conversation around this and help to fuel the understanding of the learner.
All right. Thank you so very much. This is going to be a great time and a great lesson when we all get together to be able to enjoy it. And thank you for joining us for our U podcast on today. And join us again, because you never know where God will take you.